Our job is to find the reasons why users would come to the site. You must understand, if they clicked on an ad or if they consumed your content multiple times, there is some interest. It is the problem is, or in fact, maybe even an opportunity, is that they're not ready to buy it. The 66 touch points that you're talking about, which sounds reasonable, is mainly focused on consuming content. So, as I said, users would be interested to learn how you can help them solve their problem.
Welcome to the B2B Digital Marketer Podcast, a podcast helping you to end your struggle with digital marketing, helping you to pave a new and better path to target and capture your ideal customer. Each week, we teach you how insiders and experts debunk the dreary and become engines of innovation. Now, here's your host, Jim Rembach.
Okay, B2B DM gang, we're going to have a great discussion today because I have Ior Sokolov on the call today, who specializes in doing something that I think we're all in need of, and that is to help assist a website user's conversions from going from, you know, the introduction phase all the way down to make an actual sale for high ticket B2B solutions. Ior, welcome.
Hi, Jim. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thanks you. And so we actually started our discussion because we were talking about, you know, the responsibilities of a lot of organizations that have now tried to put in revenue type of operations. So we talk about chief revenue officers or sales or marketing organizations that are now starting to focus in on the entire buyer journey and really go beyond just the actual sales discussions and interactions that happen. There was a study that just came out that said for a buyer's journey, it took like 66 touches in order for a high ticket to convert. And they also said that at all points or never did they want to talk to a salesperson. So it's like, okay, so how do we actually address, you know, the issues that currently exist today in regards to the multiple touches that are required, the larger buying teams that exist, and people doing their own research all throughout the organization, and also how we look at organizations that are in market. And so you and I have had discussions about all of this, but if you could, before we get started in all that, tell everybody a little bit about your background and experience in this area.
Sure. Well, I've been doing conversion rate optimization and user experience optimization for almost a decade now. I started on my own as a freelancer, and the team was growing. Now we're almost 40 people, agency based in Ukraine, Kiev, and our major focus is lead gen, B2B, e-com, and SaaS. Well, low touch and high touch SaaS, but e-com, I'm sorry, the high check B2B is where we specialize. This is our strongest competence.
Well, and so like I was talking about that whole buyer journey, and if we just look at the data at face value, we would say, oh, well, we don't need salespeople. Our websites can convert everything. And that's not true either, is it?
Well, it depends on how you want to look at this. There are companies and there are, you know, websites, there are models that allow you to be focused solely on your product. So it's a product-led growth, whereas there are some other companies that are purely sales-led. Now, in my experience, the biggest leverage is of combination of product-led and sales-led, where you combine them, where you segment users based on their intent, based on their buying power and their ability to make decisions, and you offer them either a low-touch entry with a product-led model, whereby users experience the product on their own, and once they're ready to speak to sales, you offer them this conversion. Or the other side is when you see that the users already experienced, they already know what they want, they pretty much understand what your product does partly because they had experience with other products like yours, or they're looking for alternative that they currently have, or they already have been subjected to your sales process. Therefore, the combination of the two is what makes a great organization now.
Okay, so now when you start talking about being able to execute that, you heavily talk about user experience. You heavily talk about research that needs to be conducted in order for you to be able to do this effectively. Can you please elaborate a little bit on what that means?
Of course. Well, if you ask me, what is the biggest, strongest competence and the biggest upside from working with an IT consulting like us is the knowledge about the users that we manage to accumulate over the time with the different types of research that we do. Now, one of the main aspects of this research is learning about the goals that users come to address. So one of the most common mistake that I see for most B2B sales or B2B companies or websites is that they focus on products. So they talk about the product, the features, the different characteristics of the product. They forget about the goals. You must understand, and this is, I hope, pretty evident for everyone listening, is that the majority of users who come to the website, they are problem aware. So they know about the problem that they came to address. They are not necessarily solution aware, and they are, most of them would be far from product aware. So what you have to understand is that users don't come to buy a product, they come to solve their problem or to achieve a particular goal. It's like there's an idea or a story that people say, people don't buy nails, they buy holes in the walls that these nails do. So it's not about the actual product, it's about the goal or the action that could be taken with that product in order to achieve that goal. So product research is a number one, user research, user experience research is a number one aspect of focus of a marketing team that is working on conversions on the website. This is the main competence, and we saw that the most successful companies in B2B are the ones who excel in this. Now, this is what I feel is incredibly important for all users, for all your listeners to know. Now, the other aspect is how do you conduct the product, the user experience research. What do you need to know and what do you need to find out is why do these users come to your website? What do they come here to solve? Or what kind of information they are looking to find? Two is how do they compare your product? What are the products they compare you with? And three is what are the characteristics? What are the factors that determine whether they will buy or not? So as I said, it could be multiple. Now, if you look at a product, let's take, for example, one of our clients is payroll automation company. It's a huge company based in Israel that is selling payroll automation software. If you think about this, payroll automation is a tool to solve a problem. Now, we found that there are a whole lot of different problems users come to solve. As an example, cost reduction, swiftness, the speed of the payroll that they managed to process within days as opposed to within weeks. The mistakes that are done in the payroll distribution. Therefore, once we identify those problems, we're able to address them with user experience on this website. Now, the question is, how do we do this? And there are a number of methodologies that we determined, we created internally, specifically. I can talk in details about them if you like, but I'll just mention them briefly. So conversion through engagement is one. Where we know that users who engage interactively and visually engage with our content or with our tools, mechanisms, toolboxes, they have higher propensity to convert. The other one is conversion through education, whereby we allow users to learn about the product effectively while they're on their website in order to increase their propensity to convert. One of the most powerful one that I can give you is called give value before you ask to convert. So users would much more likely convert if they would feel value from your product, at least to some aspect of your product, on a particular dimension. If they feel that value from your product, you're able to provide it, to convey it during the experience on the website, their propensity to convert increases drastically. And this is what we are doing. We provide value, we educate, and we allow them to engage with us visually and interactively in order to increase their probability of conversion.
Well, as you're talking, I also start thinking about the whole, historical nature when you start talking about users and visitors to your website, and also knowing that when you look at some high ticket B2B sales, you're going to have 50 plus touches with an organization, before, you even have the chance of any type of conversion. I mean, the more complex the solution, the more complex, the journey becomes, and the multiple players that are involved. So we're not talking about a situation where it's a one-time click convert. I mean, that's not it. So then I start thinking about research, and I'm like, well, in regards to your existing, website, where are all these people coming from and what are they looking for? And I've seen so many organizations, if they use that legacy data and start essentially building what you're talking about upon that data, that's where the problem exists, because it's not even your ICP who's getting to your website.
Absolutely.
Getting your ideal customer profile. And a lot of times that has to be totally reworked. We start now getting, the right people to our website by a multitude of different means, and then we can start building. So how many times have you seen yourself needing to go back with organizations and fix that originating problem before you can go forward?
Well, we work with large companies that are making millions in revenue every month, meaning that they are quite good in creating their ICP and working towards satisfying their needs and goals. Therefore, our job is to find the reasons why users would come to the site. You must understand, if they clicked on an ad or if they consumed your content multiple times, there is some interest. It is the problem is, or in fact, maybe even an opportunity, is that they're not ready to buy it. The 66 touch points that you're talking about, which sounds reasonable, is mainly focused on consuming content. So as I said, users would be interested to learn how you can help them solve their problem. They're not necessarily ready to buy yet. And remember, in a high ticket environment, there are multiple people who are making decisions. So there are people who will be researching. There are people who will be presenting a number of vendors or a number of companies that offer that service or that product. Then there will be another round of research. Then there will be a round where they would decide on where we shortlist the offering, and then there will be a decision made. So there are different types of people involved. All of these different types of people are different stages in conversion flow or a buying cycle. Therefore, we have to provide them with necessary content at the time where they are. In my view, you have to be very careful with offloading a lot of content on a particular person. You have to be able to segment this person to identify the needs, the goals, and the stage in the conversion flow or the stage in a buying funnel, and provide them with content. If we talk about 66 touch points, 61 or 62 of them would be content. The rest would be some kind of interaction with your website, conversion flow, and perhaps live chat or the sales reps.
Okay. as you're sitting there talking, and I start getting a little bit apprehensive in regards to how all of this maps out and then building it, I'm like, crud. You know, by the time all this gets built out, you know, we now have buyers looking for a very different problem to solve. So how do we stay up on all of that?
Well, I'll just give you an example, very simple one. It's not from a B2B, it's from an e-com, but it's a relevant one that could be used in B2B. We have a client who is selling the DNA sequencing, one of the top clients in, top companies in US. What we found is DNA sequencing has very different and very diverse types of problems that or goals that users are looking to achieve. For example, some would be looking to determine their predisposition to different illnesses or mutations. Some users would be looking to find their to learn about their ancestry tree and find new relatives. So, and I know the case, one of the cases that we'll be looking at, there are some people who did the test and they went they contacted their relatives in a different country. They spoke to them. They found that they had common ancestry at some level, and which is a big thing for a wider, if you think about it, it's a great thing to have. You've created a connection with your product. A user would learn about where his relatives are in different countries, and in some cases they would contact and be in contact with them thereafter. Now, so one product has very different types of problems that they address. What we did is we allowed users to pick one of the problems that they come to solve. So they would come to a website and they will have questions asking, what are you trying to achieve with DNA sequencing? And we would have different types of user intents or user problems, like discover my ancestry tree, learn about mutations, determine appropriate diet based on my DNA. Users would click on that and that would be directed to a dedicated conversion flow based on that user intent or that problem. So it's not that complicated as you may imagine. There are more complicated things you can do in terms of getting them into a specific sequence of email campaigns. However, one thing that you can do, and all of the listeners can do easily, is learn why users would come to the website or would come to look for a product that they're offering, and give them a conversion flow or give them a specific flow that would allow them to learn about that, how to solve that particular problem.
Okay. So, I mean, as you're talking and looking at, for me, I always try to take the idea and try to figure out how to execute it. Are you sitting here and saying that basically your website should be replaced with some type of survey process that funnels people into where they need to go on the front end? Or does that become a, feature and an offer like, hey, help me find an answer, help me? I mean, how do you actually execute something like that?
Okay. What I'm saying is that you should be allowing users to go in the direction that they want easily. So one example. The classical form for get a demo is just a form with 7 fields: name, email, telephone number, and so on. And basically, what you do with this is you break it down into digestible parts. You infuse more messages, some content to this form to reinforce value. That's a very limited playing field. Now, instead of that, one of the things that we also did for one of our clients is we changed this form completely. So the first thing that we would ask on that conversion form once the user would reach it is, what goals are you trying to achieve? And we would list, say, 5-7 most common goals. So by the time user would read through all of them, he would learn what kind of goals could be achieved with that particular product. Then the next step, he would click on one of the number of goals. He would go to the next step of this form. We'll ask, what features or what product characteristics are most important for you. He would read through all of them again, and then we will give them the form. So by the time he reaches the form, he would learn about what goals could be achieved and what features, what are the product characteristics this solution has. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some very difficult, very complicated mechanics, which is also practical, but in a very basic form, allow users to learn about your product and by speaking to their goals. Once again, as I said, in the conversion form, you can ask them what goals are they're trying to achieve. If they will see the goal that they came to address in that list, and they will see other relevant goals, their commitment and their motivation to continue would increase significantly.
Well, even when you're talking about that, I start looking at how things have shifted in regards to what people need in regards to content. And oh, by the way, content, let's just, throw the demo in there as a content thing too, just for explanation purposes, is things have kind of shifted, meaning that, it used to be that a buyer would maybe partake in somebody's demo a little bit earlier on in the actual investigation or decision-making process. And now, it looks like with the level of competition, with the amount of information that exists today and people's schedules being basically, slam full with work and task, is that the demo is really further down in the decision-making process than it used to be. So maybe it used to be like, 5-10 years ago at more of a top of funnel type of thing. Now it's moved down into the middle. And so when I start thinking about, the commitment and the level of commitment that we're asking people to take and partake in, to me, it seems like we would have to chunk it down to get them to the point of demo. How are you taking into consideration what people are willing, to invest in at the moment in order to be able to get these answers?
Well, important part is that we don't rely on the conversion flow in order to get to learn about them. We do it before that. So our research would allow us to learn why would users would come. In fact, we want to understand what prompted them to even look for a solution like that. So as I said, let me just give you a very simple example. What is the reason why a person would buy an apple? Very basic. A person could be hungry. A person could be, looking to embark on a diet. A person could be in a relationship with a person who is not eating meat and vegetarian diet. Or the apple would be just a great addition to the interior design in the kitchen, like many people do. They put a number of different fruits in the middle of the kitchen. So the user intents are very different. And what our focus is to find these user problems, user intents that users have, which prompted them to look for a solution and speak to them in their language. So if we know that, for example, users who would come to payroll automation website, the B2B high check solution, one of their user intents is to reduce cost and increase speed of payroll, we would give them exactly that. We will give them a call to action called learn how to reduce cost with payroll automation. They would click there and they will be directed to a specific flow. They will be based solely on that. If they want to come back and learn about other aspects or other goals that could be achieved with this software, not a problem, we'll have all of them covered, most of the common ones. But that will speak to them, speak to their problem. They will want to have to go all around website looking at resources, toolboxes, content, blog, and everything else in order to make the build and understanding how this software, this solution can help them solve the problem. We'll give them a very easy point of entry into this flow, so they will learn, and in the end we'll give them the opportunity to convert.
So how often does an organization have to stay up on or go back and analyze to see if any shifts need to be made. So my thinking is that I would be iterating on a continuous basis. I always have to be looking at these conversion metrics and where does the drop off happen? I would dare to say is this is not a set it and forget it.
Well, absolutely. It never is. It's you don't make a campaign in, advertising campaign and forget it and think that everyone knows about you and everyone will be coming. You have to constantly adjust your ad creatives, your content, your user experience in order to serve your users and give them what they're looking to get. So in my perspective, what I've seen the most successful companies do, they have a team, a user research team that constantly does surveys, user tests, user interviews, focus groups, and everything related to speaking to users and trying to understand why they came to your website, what are the problems they're looking to solve. Give you a very simple example. One of the basic things that you can do, having a product that you sell or that you talk about on your website, is see or learn what are the search queries users are using in order to hit your website. By that, you will understand what kind of combination of words they're using in order to come to your website. If then you'll be able to track and link those users, and you will see their engagement is high, meaning that they're high intent. That means that the combination of words, the search query that they used, has a direct connection to your website and is bringing those users who have high intent and they have propensity to convert and to buy. This is the basic thing we tell everyone. So when we start, we say, first, look at the search queries. How do they look for you? And then you will be able to determine whether you're speaking in the right language. Because if someone is looking for a specific product with a combination of words and you have none of these words on your homepage or any of your landing page, it's a problem. You have to be, there must be a connection between what users look and what kind of words they use to look for your product. And what the content, the messages and the content you have on your site.
So ultimately, you're talking about just going back and understanding your ICP, your ideal customer profile, at a much deeper level, which could also include the fact that, guess what, their search queries is not what you're actually ranking for and have any visibility into. They're going a different direction.
Absolutely. Well, that's that. In fact, that would be a great learning, because some companies that I see, they are very resistant to change things around. So they would say, "No, we think this is working for us." And I say, "Well, it does work for you. However, you're missing out on a big opportunity here, because there is a cluster of users who would come to your site, who have the product related search queries, but they would bounce. So they would bounce because they don't see any relation between what they were looking for and what you have. Although their search query tells us and signals that they are looking for a solution that you're offering.
So if I was to think about where organizations are most often, so talk about common, and you have visibility into what's common in regards to, people that you initially start to work with, right? Common isn't what happens when they're, working with you or beyond. But we have to assume that the people and the organizations that are coming to you needing to, for them, solve certain problems, you see some common traits. Right. It's like, well, typically people come to us and we find this being an issue, and then we find this being an issue. So what would you say are the top three things that you find that most organizations are struggling with, whether they know it or not?
OK, that's a great question. there is a notion in conversion rate optimization and user experience optimization. And ultimately, the difference, maybe someone will wonder what's the difference between conversion rate, CRO, and UXO. The difference is that CRO is optimization for the first touch point, so the first initial conversion. The UXO is optimization for the life cycle. So once a user would convert, how would we then speak to them? How would we generate loyalty, generate their engagement and goodwill towards us? Now, there is a notion called squeezing a lemon. I don't know where it came from, but I heard it from a few clients where they say, how much more are we going to be squeezing a lemon? So how much additional revenue and additional leads we can generate through what we are doing? My answer is very simple to this, is that if you work on the same playing field, then this lemon will become smaller and smaller. So at some point you will hit the level, the diminishing returns. Whereas if you innovate, if you create what we call conversion flows, additional dedicated conversion flows, this is where the magic happens. This is where you can encompass and spread your user experience in a way to encompass significantly more users. I'll give you a very simple example. We're currently working with a client who used to have only one conversion flow, which is get a demo, the classical one. What we found is that there are users who would come to the website. The reason why they don't convert to get a demo is because they want to know the price or at least some kind of range before they make a commitment to come to a demo. So what we did is a very simple thing. We said, let's create a conversion, get a quote. So on the pricing page with plans and different conditions, we would give a conversion flow, get a quote, which is basically an additional dedicated conversion flow based on that specific need. Users need to know at least some kind of range of a price that they will be, because if it's just outside of their range, outside the budget, there's no point of going to demo. This just alone, this simple decision gave us 15% more leads. And we're talking about big, big checks. So 15% additional leads, you can imagine how much additional revenue we generated with just this. And there was the first thing that we did with this client is implemented this conversion flow.
I would dare to say the use case on that is very unique to that organization, because if you start, you know, looking at, you know, a buyer journey in a lot of organizations, you may have a buying team as many as, you know, 10 people. I mean, it can get quite complex, but I think that goes back to the whole research you're talking about. So we have to be really careful to say, hey, if you just do this, you're going to, you know, the get a quote thing, it's going to actually lift your conversions by 10, 15%. That's not it at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is that based on the research and everything else, that for this client, you know, this turned out to be something that was successful. And the point is that we had to do the research in order to figure it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I conveyed it clearly. Absolutely. The reason why we did this is because we found that in our research that users would be hesitant to sign up to a demo before they know some kind of indication of a price. There was no really indication of a price. So there will be plans described with the basically with a description and a conversion flow of get a demo. So instead of get a demo, we said, let's give them get a quote. So they would come to the same call, pretty much we'll be talking about the same things, but they will be given the price in the beginning of this call.
Yeah. And then you did explain that. And I'm just saying that people don't want to necessarily take what you're saying you put in and implement it as something that increased the conversion is something that would work for them. Because, you know, even when you start talking about get a price or get a quote, you have different people that are involved within that buying team. It's, you know, and you said it a moment ago as well, is that they have no freaking power. They can't buy squat, right? So it's like, okay, what is get a quote going to do for somebody like that? And do we actually want to implement something like that? or we have a multi-tiered complex solution, and you know the price ranges could be anything from $15,000 all the way to $15 million, right? It's like, well, you have to look at all of that and all the different personas and who you're targeting. And again, it goes, it's the full circle thing about going back to the research and talking about the three things that people fail with. It seems like, of course, that would have to be number one. People just don't do their research correctly.
Well, that's exactly it. We sometimes get very surprised by how little our clients know about their users and their clients. So they have a perspective, and this is what we call ICP. So they believe this is their ICP, and they believe that these are the users that they're serving. Well, in fact, sometimes we say, well, you're actually serving some other people who are outside of your ICP, and this is who they are. So you might want to expand your focus to make sure that you also serve those people, that segment of users, with content and with various tools that you implement on your site.
Okay, so that's the first one. We find that most organizations are not doing the proper research.
Number one.
And so what would be number two? Most organizations are not.
They're not expanding their playing field. They are working on the playing field and thinking, this is it. We only have one conversion, or we only have two conversions. We only have one form. Basically, they do the things that have been done for the past 10 years. Whereas innovation tells us that you have to constantly move forward. First thing first is user research, understanding why users are on your site in the first place. They may not necessarily be to buy a product. They may be just learning about the potential to serve some kind of need that they have in the future. And this is what you have to do. So you have to be, you have to think wider. You have to learn about their different problems and their different needs and goals that they want to achieve. Provide content and provide conversion flows, dedicated conversion flows based on that specific needs, and innovate with your forms. As I said, when I presented the form to a client where we said, instead of simplifying the form, get a demo and breaking into three parts, I said, let's add more questions there. Let's ask the users, what goals are you looking to achieve? What features are most important to you? And then give a form. The client looked at me as if I was not feeling very well. You see, as if I was doing, he was saying, are you sure this is what you want to do? This just goes, that's his words. He said, this goes against all the principles of our work on optimizing the forms. Instead of making it simpler, you make it a lot more complicated. You add more questions, you add more stages. I said, well, let's try it. And I'll tell you, 17% uplift in conversion rate based on this form, because users would read, they would be educated, and by the time they reach the form, we have 95% completion rate of the form by the time they reach it.
Okay, so what you're telling me and what I interpret in here is that really what we're doing is we're doing brain optimization for the people who we need to be focusing in on, and those are the people who are we're trying to actually sell to and get its customers. That's really what it's about. It's about brain optimization. It's not efficiency in regards to flow. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about as far as how people chunk down and think about being able to address this particular problem and getting the different elements and aspects of the problem as they see it as best as you possibly can to get them into the right area. And that's what, therefore, is building really a perceived trust. Hey, I think they know me and understand me because these are the things that, yes, I am struggling with that.
Well, see, this is called, we have a name for this. We call this conversion through education. So we would get users to learn, not by throwing at them five different types of content, like a video, a podcast, or three articles, and expect them to read that. While they're on the form, we give them very concisely the opportunity to learn in a condensed form the exact things that they need to know, the goals that they can achieve, and the features that or the product characteristics that we have. And what we learn from this, from studying that users on this form, by the way, we innovate, we A/B test, and then we still learn about how users progress and how they find this form useful. So what we found is that users who would come to the forum, get a demo, and they would first, they will be subjected to a question, what goals are you trying to achieve? They will say, there are some goals that I found that are relevant to me, but I haven't thought about this them before. So it's very important that I learn this, because it increased my motivation to continue, because there are not only one problem that I can solve, there are multiple problems that I can solve that are relevant to me.
So therefore, what I'm hearing is that the number two problem that we see that the vast majority of organizations have is that they're actually not focusing in and have a mindset of converting with education or through education.
Yes, well, this is the most useful, one of the most useful tools that we found is that, because remember, not only you educate them, you expand their breadth and their understanding of the product and the goals, you also generate goodwill, because you save time and you give the content that they really need and the information that they were looking for in a very condensed way, in a very condensed, concise form, in the right place at the right time. When they were thinking of making a decision to come to a demo, you give them exactly what they're looking for, goals and features.
So, okay, I would dare to say that when I look at, you know, all of this, again, going back to what most organizations are missing, is this type of focus and diligence and into staying engaged with the customer. Those are the lacking pieces. And so there's still a whole lot to learn here and unpack. And then, because also too, when we start talking about chief revenue officer and looking across that entire, buyer journey, now we start talking into how does sales and marketing fit within this? How do we, marketing operations, sales operations, all these different things that people are trying to, implement within their organization, to, really stand out. I mean, what we're talking about is the difference these days, the difference being really survival. If organizations are not getting this closer or this close, to their potential prospects, they're only going to be stuck with the customers that they've already obtained, however they obtain them. So they are having to focus in on the retention piece because they're not doing an effective job of looking at the growth piece. If you want to grow, these are the things that we need to be implementing, and these are the issues. Is that fair?
Almost. The only thing that I would add is that product differentiation is very difficult to achieve because everyone is copying each other. So as soon as you get some kind of feature, as some kind of additional benefit, you'll be copied by your competitors within a month.
Yep.
So the only thing that we are now competing on is brand, which is very expensive to build, and user experience. Now, user experience is based on user research. If you know what users are trying to achieve, goals they're trying to achieve and problems they're trying to solve, you can speak to them in their language and provide them the unique user experience, customized and personalized user experience that would allow them to learn, be educated, and make a decision faster and generate goodwill to you. Because if they know that they came to your website, they found all the questions, all the answers to their questions quickly because you allowed them to go to a specific flow that would speak to their or address their goal or their problem, there will be a lot of goodwill and they will come back to more and they will consume more content and you will be one of the first people they will speak to once they're ready to make a decision.
Yeah, so I think that's the great way to close this is that it's the user experience that it causes you to stand out.
Yes, but you asked me for three things. I can give you one more.
Sure.
The third thing that I think is important and which is the common aspect of many clients is that everyone is currently building their marketing on content. Now, there is a big trend. It's happening right now. We just saw it with a few clients and I haven't seen it with many other companies, is that there is a transition from being a content-driven marketing company to a toolbox-driven, whereby you allow your users to complete some kind of tasks and some kind of calculations, some kind of analysis on your website. So instead of just throwing out hundreds of different blog posts and videos, allow your users to do the calculations, do the return on investment calculations, or the savings that could be achieved with this solution, or something that will generate that goodwill, that value. So not only you educate them and you give them the right information at the right time in a concise form and fashion, you also allow them to derive value from your website by engaging with different toolboxes, different tools and instruments that you generate. And it's up to a company to decide what are those tools that are relevant to their business and they're important to their users.
That's a great closing point. Ihar Sokolov, how does the B2B DM gang get in touch with you?
Well, very easily. LinkedIn. Follow me, shoot me a message. I'm there.
Ihar Sokolov, thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you very much for having me. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us. Go now to join the B2B DM gang in the B2B Marketer LinkedIn group, where you can connect with other B2B DM disruptors and get access to our B2B DM cheat sheets, checklist, and guides. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, please help by going to iTunes to rate, review, and subscribe. And share the show on all of your digital platforms. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. And always remember, you can automate your lead capture, but you must lure your lead.